So my man, please welcome Mr. Thomas Blackwell to the stage. We bring about what we talk about. Yes, sir. Come on up in here.
Good to see you, brother.
Thank you for being here.
What a pleasure it is to be here. You know, he is one of the most consistent conference putter togethers I've ever seen. He's always having a conference. Would you agree? Always something, but they're always what? Phenomenal. Every time I ask Howard how he is, how is he? Phenomenal. You know this. And it just stuck with me, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I just want to congratulate you, Howard, and the team for constantly and consistently putting on phenomenal conferences. Can we agree? It is a pleasure to be here. You know, for the last several years, you've probably heard me speak of Infusionsoft. Who's ever heard me give an Infusionsoft speech? Fantastic. That's not this. Infusionsoft, I had the blessing of my buddies from my boy band days in high school started a company called Infusionsoft, and I was a speaker for them for many years. And I always knew there was something more, and I wanted to talk about the software that everyone has, and that's the software between our ears. And we've already checked, you all have it. It was a requirement to get here. So congratulations for that. But let me tell you a little story. 20 years ago, I married my high school sweetheart. We were, in fact, here's a picture of us at the senior prom. Right there. I know, she looks the same. I'm look a little different. My part's a little more to the, anyway, parts change over the years. But there she is. You know, in high school, we knew we wanted to get married, and I knew with certainty I was going to have 8 little boys. So much that I wrote down their names. I picked their first names. I picked their middle names. I already knew their last name, believe it or not. And I said, look, this is going to be the deal. I was sure of it. We bring about what we talk about, right? Let me introduce you to my 4 girls. So you get what you're supposed to get. And just to clear this up, this is my wife, not my daughter, next to me there. But Michaela is 18. She just graduated from our homeschooling academy. We've been homeschooling. We've always homeschooled. Charity is 16. Liberty is 10. And then we have a little angel baby that's always right there. There's always space for her. Melody would be 11 today. So that's a beautiful place. Who's ever been to that Wormslow in Savannah, Georgia? That beautiful spot right there. I just convinced you to go, didn't I? So, interesting enough, we've homeschooled our whole years. Michaela just graduated from the Blackwell Homeschooling Academy, and we're always doing projects and things like that. And I saw a wonderful homeschooling book back here. The author in here of that book? Where's the author of that book? Is she here? That she left? Okay, she would have wanted to hear this. But basically, we're always doing, let me tell you a little story about Charity, the one on the left. She one day came into my office. I've worked out of my home in different offices for several years. And she brought me this in one day. If you can see that, can you see that piece there? She was 6 years old at the time. She said, Dad, I made you something. I said, oh, thanks, sweetheart. What is that? You know, and she said, she's 6 years old, remember this. So she said, Dad, duh, it's a toe ring. Now, I didn't have a toe ring at the time, and so I was kind of grateful to have this one. And I said, thank you, sweetheart. And I put it on the desk right there, and I went back to work. Well, she didn't move. She wanted me to try this thing on. So I took off my shoe, I took off my sock, I put that thing on the most logical toe you can think of. And I looked down at it, and she got this real concerned look on her face. And she said, Dad, it looks kind of big. I said, well, what do you think we should do? And then she smacks me on the back, 6 years old, and says, don't worry, Dad, you'll grow into it. I'm actually still working on that. I'm eating all sorts of toe-growing vegetables and things like that. But this is a special thing to me. Doesn't business sometimes feel like that? You're still growing into it, and sometimes it feels like that may never happen. Someone once said, one time, they said, cherish the small things because one day they'll become the big things. I've told that story all over the world, literally. I have a special case for it because it's so precious to me. You know, at the end of the day, it's these little precious things that we have. A wise religious man, he said, his name is Thomas Monson, he said, people will work hard for money, won't they? But they'll actually work harder for another person. And they'll work hardest of all for a cause they believe in. And so what's the secret there? If you can find a cause, friends, and put that in the center of everything you do, it'll never be work to you. People will work hard for money, but that's short-lived. They'll actually work harder for another person. But that has a length. But they'll work the hardest of all for a cause they can believe in. So what can you do with that? If you find people that love working for you, but then they get on board with that cause. Howard mentioned Zappos as an example. You can see the folks that serve with him. They know the cause. It's not work to them anymore. They're not employees. They're not even working for Howard. They're working for the cause. And you all help fulfill that cause. Well, in high school, my wife and I, we knew we wanted to be an entrepreneur. Friends, we couldn't even spell entrepreneur. But we knew we wanted to be one. And here's kind of the reason is our parents were not. And so we weren't exposed to that. But the moment I got exposed to it, here's what happened. There was a senior trip. And that senior trip was going to be $350. Now, friends, that was a lot of money to me in high school. I couldn't ask my parents for $50 or $20, let alone $350. And I was working, playing, doing with athletics and everything. I didn't have the money. I went to a buddy of mine. I said, buddy, I'm not going to be able to go on that trip. It's $350. Can you believe they're charging us that much? I mean, my music around money was lack, scarcity. Because that was my environment. Can anybody relate to this? He said, are we talking about the same trip? Because it's only $350. I said, where did you come from? He said, I really want you to go. I said, what are we going to do? He says, I'm going to go home and ask my parents if they'll cover your $350 because I know they can cover my $350. No big deal. I said, what do your parents do? He said, well, they're entrepreneurs. Of course, I said, is that legal? No, because I didn't know. But I knew I wanted to be one. So I went to my girlfriend and became my wife. I said, babe, we're going to be entrepreneurs. I started hanging out at their house. I started eating dinner at their house. Would you believe me if I told you the conversation around their dinner table, Luis, was different than mine? You couldn't dream at my dinner table, especially if it involved money. Who can relate to this? So at theirs, I could be anything I wanted. So our first business was a pizza business. It was all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Pizza, $2, get this, $2.99. All-you-can-eat pizza, pasta, garlic bread, dessert, pizza, and salad. It's the dumbest thing we've ever done. I put up a sign that said, all you can eat. I didn't think people were going to do it, but they did. So if I were to do it all over again, I'd call it the all you can eat limited buffet. Sometimes you got to, you know, change your business plan there. But the thing is, I learned a lot about people inside that pizza business. In fact, there's a whole chapter in my book. It's called People Tend to Act How You Speak to Them. People tend to act how you speak to them. Well, here's an experience about that. I went in there. I didn't know a lot about the pizza business. There was the previous manager and owner there. I remember it very well. It was their last day, and they were entregando, delivering it to me. And I said, look, before you go, do you have any last pieces of advice for me before you leave here? They said, sure. You see the gal out there cooking? We were in the office. I looked out. Yeah. Her name is Tanya. Go ahead and fire Tanya, and everything's going to be cool in the pizza business. Why would I fire Tanya? They said, she shows up late. She's got a bad attitude. She takes too many breaks. She never even combs her hair, never puts on makeup, never smiles. She's like a cancer. Fire Tanya. Everything's going to be great in the pizza business. I said, well, thank you very much. And then it was my decision to follow their advice or not. Well, I have to confess, I did follow their advice. But I changed it a little bit because I understood this little principle called people tend to act how you speak to them. I went straight up to Tanya and I said, Tanya, you're not going to believe what those previous manager and owner just told me about you. Literally, she said, oh. She took off her apron and started walking backwards as if she just knew what was coming. She said, my days as a pizza cook are done. I said, no, Tanya, you got the wrong idea. They told me if anybody can run this restaurant, it was you. She looked around. You talking to me? You. I said, I'm going to need a lot of help. I don't know anything about the pizza business. In fact, I can see you becoming one of my shift managers, Tanya. Please help me. Now, what happened? She put that apron back on. She smiled. They said she never smiled. She smiled. And I said, we're going to be good friends. In fact, when you take a break and take as many as you want, have all the pizza, pasta, coffee, dessert, pizza, and salad you want, let's talk. I want to get to know you better. You know what happens when you get to know people and learn their story? You tend to love them. I just wish we spent a lot more time getting to know people and their story, because we all got one. Well, guess who showed up early the next day? Tanya. They said she never showed up early. Guess who had stuff on her face, she had makeup, and her hair was combed. She started smiling at people, became contagious. Tanya became my shift manager. Now, I got to know Tanya. Let me tell you about Tanya. She's given me permission to tell this. Tanya, at the time, had a 2-year-old boy that she hadn't seen in 18 months. You just think about that little situation due to some unfortunate circumstances. Tanya, at the age of 4, what age? Was dropped off in an unstable uncle's house by her mother. Never saw her mother again. That uncle abused that child in every sense of the word. I think of my own girls, right? Did Tanya have some reasons not to smile? Did Tanya have some reasons not to respect authority, especially when it came to men that weren't treating her kindly? Yes. You see, here's what happens. Here's what I believe. I believe that when we're born, we have this sign on our chest. It's invisible, but it's there. Every single one of us got it. And it says this, I am loved. I am divine. I am worthy of greatness. But what happens is life happens. Experiences happen. Tanya had experiences that just sort of one by one started covering up her sign. And so when she showed up, you couldn't see it. But then, I was 21 at the time, this 21-year-old boy comes up and says, Tanya, I believe in you. And it's as if I could see a layer fall off. A negative one. Tanya, you're worthy of greatness. Well, another layer falls off. Then she starts being happy. And then she starts helping other people, lifting other people. Guess what? More layers. And then I could see your sign. You're divine, you're loved, and you're worthy of greatness. Do you know what you do when you see your sign? Do you know what you do when you see other people's sign? It's simple. You shine their sign. People tend to act how you speak to them. You let them know how great they are. You let them know what they not can become, but what they're destined to be, right? They're becoming and who they always were meant to be. Well, I have two categories here. I call that the internal customer and external customer. Tanya is an internal customer. And guess what? We're business owners. We all have them. Our internal customers. Do we see them as them serving us or the higher level of us serving them? They're our internal customers because people tend to act how you speak to them. Let me tell you about the external customer, about the pizza business. Friends, look, I'll be the first to say it was not the highest quality of pizza, pasta, garlic bread, dessert, pizza, and salad. People came. In fact, there was a study done, and it happened to be in the restaurant business, and I studied this thing, and they had this pie chart of why people keep showing up. Price, ambiance, food quality, customer service, experience. What do you think was number one and number two? Customer service and experience. They were right neck and neck. People don't show up for the food. They show up for the experience. Well, oh, I live this. People would come. I had this whole buffet of pizza. And we had the same pizzas. But if you liked a certain pizza and you didn't see it on the buffet, I made your pizza. One guy, Bob, he came every Thursday at 3 o'clock. And I mean every Thursday at 3 o'clock. Bob loved beef and onion. And I didn't have beef and onion out there. But when Bob came in the door, I knew I was getting a beef and onion bag. In fact, here's how it went. I could see Bob coming from a long way. We had a big set of windows in our dining room. And Bob would get out of his car, and he would step by step by step. He just had a stroke. Doctor said he should be in a wheelchair, but he's, you know, prideful guy that he is and strong. He muscled through a cane. When Bob finally made it to the door, he'd pop open the door. Bob! job. I got your beef and onion in the oven. You go take a seat. I'll bring you some slices. It was a victory just to get to the door. And so he would just muscle over to and sit down, and I'd bring him some pieces. Every Thursday at 3 o'clock, he'd always put his hand up on my shoulder. Oh, Tommy, he called me Tommy. Ah, Tommy, you didn't have to do it. I could have got up and got it. I know he wasn't going to get up and get it. But it was his way of saying thank you to me. Well, there did come a Thursday. I was a little concerned that Bob didn't come. I didn't think much of it, but then the next day, Friday, his wife, Linda, came in the restaurant and said, I'm here to tell you that Bob passed yesterday. Why was she coming to the pizza restaurant if Bob had just passed? Amongst his last words, he said, can you go tell Tommy I want him there at my funeral and I want him to carry me? A pallbearer. I was the pizza guy. But not to Bob. Bob showed up because he had a friend. Someone that made him feel good. See, friends, we have people tend to act how you speak to them and treat them. The internal customer and the external customer. There's this old TV hit show. I know you've heard of it. It's called Cheers. You heard of that? That song, it's brilliant. You can even sing with me. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your and they're always glad you... Okay, we need to work on that, y'all. But it's true. Sometimes you want to go where people... Well, I'll change a little bit. Remember your name. And treat you with love and respect. That's why they keep showing up. I venture to say, how many of you have come to this conference more than 3 years? 4 years, keep your hand. 5 years. 6 years. 7 years. 8 years. Right? Why? Because you feel good here. And that's what this community has brilliantly done. That's what Howard and his team and Tom have done. They've created this community. And people will show up for that the rest of their lives. Because people tend to act how you speak to them. Well, that's a whole chapter in the book. I tell a couple of little stories inside of there. And they're powerful. Well, here's the deal about being an entrepreneur is sometimes you're led down path and everything's a stepping stone, a building block. We live by the rule of our house, and it's crucial. It's worked for years, and it's called She Happy, Me Happy. Greg, that's a writer downer, bud. That's worth your whole conference right now. You know what I'm saying? He's right. So with that, my wife didn't like the pizza business, and she wanted to get out, so we had to look for something else, and we got into financial services, and I won't go into all that story, but, you know, you start something new, and you see what you can become, and there's a little struggle along the way, and we struggled a bit for 2 years to a point to where we wanted to quit. And I went to my mentor, and I said, look, I'm going to quit. I'd been at this for 2 years. I was working 4 jobs. I was valet parking. I was teaching tennis lessons. I was doing a cold calling job at night, and I was building this financial services practice. Everything we do to have this financial freedom and be an entrepreneur, all these things we talk about. And I made $87. My wife, we already had our first child. She was pregnant with the second. Not a lot of food in our cupboards. And I went to the guy and said, they hired me. I said, look, I'm out. I gave it a good run, 2 years. Wouldn't you think that's a good time? He said, Thomas, that's fine, but let me just tell you this. The only way you fail is if you quit. Now, why'd you have to say that to me? I'm a competitive guy. He said, you can quit, but I don't think you've even made a decision yet. He was challenging my quit-itness. I just made that up. That's good, quit-itness. And he said, Thomas, why don't you go and make a decision? And I really recognize I hadn't. So I love what Ralph Waldo Emerson said about decisions. He said, when a decision is made, the universe conspires to make it happen. And most people haven't made a decision. A real decision to go for it. He said, also, you need to get mentored. He said, I'm not the greatest in the company. You need to find a mentor who's making it happen. The best of the best. Top of the top. So I found one of those guys in the company. There's 10,000 people in that company. I found the top 5. I found where he lived. He lived in Agoura Hills, California. This was before GPSs and all the fancy things we have right now. I called some people that maybe I wasn't supposed to call. I called them anyway. I drove 8 hours. I went and knocked on this guy's door. You know what happens when you knock on people's door? They come. I'll spare you the suspense to the door. He came to the door and I said, congratulations, you're my new mentor. He said, who are you? I said, exactly the problem. You don't know who I am, and I'm a somebody. And I made this decision. And I said, I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to be what you be. I'm going to copy what you do. You see, when you copy what successful people do, you get what they get. When you copy what successful people do, you get what they get. Now, he said, I don't train people who aren't in my organization. I said, until today. I wasn't moving. He said, well, it's going to be this big investment. Just tell me what it is. And I learned this principle. All this time, I'm learning these things that the wealthy mindset, I'm not sold anything. Wealthy people are not sold anything. They see value and they invest. If they see value, they invest. Don't try to see, selling can be a negative avenue, a negative vein. I'm a wealthy person. If I see value, I'm going to invest in it because I see a return. I saw the return. Well, I invested with this guy. I made $87 the month before. And because I made a decision, here's the key, I made a decision and got the right mentoring. The next 4 months, I made $124,000. It's not a ton of money, but it changed my world. Next 5 years, we doubled that every single year. Take $124,000 and double that for 5 years. In my 20s, multimillion-dollar financial services company, had 100 agents, 3 different offices. Things were good. They put me up on a stage and they said, hey, here's the kid who went from $87 to $124,000 in 4 months. Tell us your story. They put me in front of 10,000 people. They gave me 7 minutes. They said, go ahead. And I told my little story. And that was in 2004. And as a result of that story, my phone started ringing. People said, come train our company. Come do this. Come do that. 2, 3, 4 times a month I was on a plane. Sometimes people sit in a private jet just to pick me up. I thought, this is fun. This is a fun little fun thing. And a lot of people said, this is what you should do. You should just train. You should speak. This is your calling. I didn't know it was like you can make money at it. No, really. So I could say, honestly, found me. So eventually it got to a point to where things were going so well, I sold off my financial services practice, and it's all I've been doing for a long time. They said, well, you got to have a book. Okay. This was 10 years ago. So I started writing a book. And over the course of 10 years, this book came about right here. Because I recognize how important and how powerful our language is. And it was always my message when I was training. The liberty of our language revealed. We bring about what we talk about. I would hire somebody. And I hired over 500 different agents over the course of 8 years. And within 60 seconds, I could tell their BS. Just by what they said and how they said. In 60 seconds, I could tell their BS. If they were going to make it or not. No, I don't need to say it necessarily. You know what BS means, right? Their belief system. I could tell their belief system in 60 seconds or less by what they said. And this was kind, and I've proven it over and over in athletics. When I said I could win, I would win. I had the opportunity to play Division I tennis and soccer. I coached Division I tennis. I get it. I could tell my players that were going to win that weren't. I got scholarships in those because I said I was going to get a scholarship. From the time I was 15, I'm going to get a college scholarship playing tennis. And I did. So, just like anything, the powerful thing is to have a vision. This has only been out a year, but it's been absolutely humbling and inspiring what's happened. My vision with this is to significantly improve the language and mindset of more than 1 billion people worldwide through authorship and inspirational speaking. So, I knew this was always in me. See, Infusionsoft was just a part of what I did. Maybe y'all didn't know that I've been speaking on this for a long, long time in addition to that. And then there came a point when the demand came so big. And because I have a vision, it has to fulfill. A lot of people don't get what they want because they don't even have a vision. They don't know where they're going with that thing. When you have a vision, you win. I can tell you a quick example. This isn't a political conversation. This is just, it is what it is. You all know the President of the United States. I can say who's the President of the United States in any country. Vietnam, Indonesia, and I've been to all of them. South Africa. They say, oh, Donald Trump. I say, what's his vision? What's the vision? You know it. They know it in Vietnam. They know it in Australia. They know it in Korea. They know it all over the world. I say, this isn't a political thing. I'm not even partial to who you want. It doesn't matter. But who ran against him? Hillary Clinton. What's her vision? Nobody knows. Right. So here's the thing. Again, it's not a side. I'm not siding with anyone. But what I'm just saying is when you have a vision, you win. Period. We could say what Obama's vision was. He had a vision. Everybody knew about it. And that's what great leaders do. They have a vision and they drive it to completion. That's what Jack Welch said. They create the vision. They articulate the vision. And they drive it to completion. Look, I'm just emphasizing what Howard just taught you earlier. So I have a vision, and because I have a vision, guess what's happening? My book's already in two languages, about to be in three. I just did a South American tour. It's in La Libertad de Nuestro Lenguaje Revelado. Producimos aquello de que lo hablamos. Right? So I lived in Colombia a couple years. So I just did a speaking tour in Colombia and Argentina. I talked to generals and colonels and things, talked about this stuff. And now I'm going to Vietnam again in January. It'll be my fifth time speaking in Vietnam. Now it's being produced in Vietnamese. But it's happening because I have that vision. So I want to talk about what this movement is and why it's catching fire. Listen, our brain is the greatest technology on the planet. Would you agree with that? It is, and we all have one. This statement, the software between our ears is the one we'll always have and is the primary reason we attract and achieve what we want or what we don't want. True? The primary reason. So a big part of this is transitioning from infusing off for me and say, look, I want to talk about a software that everybody's already got. I know if we can reprogram that, oh, watch out. Because that's the primary reason. So let me tell you about a Harvard brain study. Maybe you've heard it before. What they did is they took 10 concert pianists, 10 concert piano players, and they wanted to measure how music affected the brain when played. They lined up 10 beautiful pianos, and they hooked up these mechanisms to their brain, and they wanted to measure brain activity. And they played a beautiful concerto. And different parts of the brain lit up that were otherwise dormant previously. Power of music, right? But then they said, oh, let's take this a little further. This time we don't want you to play a single note. We want you to imagine in your mind the exact concerto, the exact song you just played, the crescendos, the decrescendos, the fermatas, everything. Go through the whole song in your mind. Guess what happened? The exact parts of the brain that lit up with the actual music lit up again. As if the song was being played. What can we determine from this? Your brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. Now, you've maybe never done this, but have you ever had an argument with someone that was not present? I know you don't do this in Texas or wherever you're from, but sometimes people have arguments with people in cars ahead of them. They just cut them off. Sometimes that, not in here, but other people have, and your body goes into, what, convulsions? You go home, kick the cat, whatever you do, right? And that person had no idea that you decided to be offended and have an argument with them. There's this word called worry, and because I'm big on words and the power of words, worry. Have you heard of it? That's one you can go and take in the toilet and let it go, and Karen's honey wagon is not going to retrieve that one. Okay? It's gone. And by the way, I need to meet you. You don't know this. I met your daughter. You have a daughter. And I was at a conference speaking, and she said, my mom has a company called Karen's Honey Wagon. Let me see if I get this right. The sweet smell of success. Am I right? Because people say, Karen, why in the world, why in the bejeebers, and I don't say bejeebers that often, would you have a company called Karen's Honey Wagon when it is a septic pumping? Okay? Now, Howard got a start on this poop conversation, but right? But you got systems to clean it out. Here you go. But here's the thing. And then she said, oh, and she said, why would you? She said, oh, the sweet smell of success. That's what she said. And that was her response. So I write these weekly inspirational language tips. And I asked your daughter if I could tell your story in one of them. So you're in one of my stories. You don't even know it. Can I give you a hug?
Yeah, all right. Actually, it wasn't us.
It wasn't you?
No, but you can give us a hug.
No, we're going to go with that. Okay. Yeah. Just take it. So here's the thing. We say we bring about what we talk about. The brain doesn't know. So there's certain, you can take the word worry and eliminate it from your vocabulary because it is powerless. It causes effects in your body that, if I asked you, you wouldn't want to have happen. Am I right? So let's talk about the the physical power of these things. But our thoughts are just silent words. Would you agree with that? Our thoughts are just silent words. But either way, the words are the trigger. Whether you're saying them in your mind or vocally, now vocally is more powerful, I'm going to prove that to you. But either way, the words are the trigger. So when you change your language, what happens? You will change your life, your results. You will change your environment and you will change your life. So think about all the things that aren't serving you. But let me go real deep into this. The physical power of our words, because they have physical power. Let's talk about water for a moment. There was a brilliant gentleman from Japan. His name was Dr. Masaru Emoto. He dedicated a good part of his life to produce this study right here called Messages from Water. Some of you might have seen this before. He would take water, freeze it, after playing different music, praying, saying different words to see what crystallized and what would show how the water would react. I thought it was incredible. So let me show you a couple examples here. He took some water, played a heavy metal song to the water, froze the water, then he looked at it under a microscope, and here's the image that came from a heavy metal song. He took the same water, let it melt, then played a beautiful Austrian hymn called Edelweiss. Froze the water, looked under a microscope, that's what happened. Heavy metal, Edelweiss. When it comes to prayer, I don't know who you pray to, what you pray, that, I don't know if that much matters. This is a Japanese prayer. He wanted to see how water was affected by prayer. He took a sample of some water from a local lake, Lake Bawa. And they just wanted to see what the status of the lake was. And so, this was the status of the lake. After they froze the water, that's what the status of the lake was. Then, he and some colleagues said a prayer to however they say prayer over the lake, which they were not next to, by the way. They were a distance away. Far away from it. Then they went and took a sample, froze the water. That's what happened. Gives this kind of new meaning, the same prayer over our food and water, doesn't it? Isn't that interesting? When it comes to words, the big one. He said different words to the water, froze it, looked under a microscope and see what happened. How did the water react? Well, this word right here, evil. Looks like a presentable place, doesn't it? That should not be your goal to get there. Love and gratitude. You disgust me. Looks disgusting, doesn't it? It obeyed. What about this word? Thank you. What about this one? You fool. Eternal. Now, I'm a homeschooling dad. We homeschooled our family, so I said, that's great, Dr. Emoto, but let's do a homeschooling project. Let's see if this deal really works. So we took 2 glasses of Virginia water. Now, in my house, we do not say negativity. We do not say swear words. We do not say vulgarity. But I said to my girls, for the sake of science. So we can really, you have the green light. So first I had them write the words. And here were some of the terrible words they came up with. You can't do it. I hate you. You're ugly. Despair, iniquity, jealous, shut up, stupid. Big ones. Those aren't welcome in our home. And then I said to girls, go ahead and say these words. Are you serious, Dad? Yes, go ahead. And I took a picture of them saying the words to the water. Look at their faces. I did not tell them what faces to make, but look at their faces. 8 and 6. 8 years old, 6 years old there. Interesting. Then the opposite of negativity is what? Positivity. So here's some of the positive words they can. Faith, charity, love, you can do it, I believe in you, beautiful, pretty, you're awesome, you're a champion, divine nature, powerful, confident. Then they started drawing pictures of our family, which I thought was pretty positive. And then they said these words to the water. Look at their faces now. Did not tell them what faces to make. And then one daughter, without me prompting it, she had one hand on the Bible and one hand on the water, like sending a positive Bible love. I don't know. But she just did that. Interesting. Then I put some caps on them, and then we put them in the freezer right here. And I separated them by 2 Atlantic pieces of salmon. which actually had nothing to do with it. I know Tom Ziegler's already come up with it. That's a fishy experiment, right? But the deal is, I just wanted to see what happened. Do you know what happened the very next moment? The next morning, we let this thing freeze. That negativity on the right, I opened up the freezer, glass flew out. That jar exploded like a bomb went off. This one stayed together. It expanded a little bit, so cracked a little bit. I chiseled the water out of there carefully with all the glass, and look at it. It was dysfunctional. It was in despair. It was in iniquity. It was all over the place. The other one, you can see the glass still attached, formed a beautiful swirl inside of it. It became what we told it to become. Now you might say, that's great, Thomas. That's great about that water thing. It wouldn't be such a big deal if we had any water inside of us. Now I've done several studies on this, and the science agrees with these statistics. Newborn baby, 78% water. Full-grown man, 65% water. Full-grown woman, 53 to 57% water. It is the majority of our makeup. If the water obeys, don't you think we ought to pay attention? Well, it's what comes out of here. Let me explain it this way. Our mouth, our thoughts, our words are the captain. And let's say, and we have our own ships. Our body is the ship. Our environment is the ship. And it's also the crew. Whatever the captain says, the crew obeys. If you've been in military, look, you don't question orders. You just do it. It is the same thing. We create what we say. If the captain says, sail towards a promised land, guess what? The crew goes to work to sail towards a promised land. If the captain wakes up and says, sink this ship, the crew goes to work to sink the ship. There's no filter. The captain doesn't say, sink the ship, and secretly the crew says, that doesn't sound fun. Let's secretly sail towards the promised land. No, it only knows to obey. And I've thought about this several times, friends. I wonder how many people wake up in the morning and sink their own ships every day with what they say. Oh, it's Monday. What do you expect? Can't wait till Friday. That means your whole week's going to be terrible until Friday. The crew goes to work to obey that and put it into play. Oh, it's cloudy outside. My knees always hurt when it's cloudy outside. The crew says, okay. One guy, we were on a little vacation down in the Caribbean. He said, oh, the weather's turning. I always get sick when the weather turns. Your crew just said, aye, aye, Captain. Let's work on that. Friends, it's become so crazy in our society, there's sick seasons. There's a flu season. It's got its own season. Doctors love it. But it's for the people who don't get it. I got to get my flu shot because I'm going to get sick. Okay, the crew just said, aye, aye, Captain. I'm always healthy. Aye, aye, Captain. Things are always working out for me. Aye, aye, Captain. I never win anything. Aye, aye, Captain. Do you understand now? But let's take this a little further. I'm going to show you, because here's the cruciality of this. How you speak to yourself and others. How do you speak to yourself in the mirror, and how do you speak to others? The captain and the crew. So I'm going to do an example here. And let's see. I need a example here. A strong gentleman. Young man. Starts with A. Is it Aladdin? What's your name? Adrian. Okay. Come on up. Adrian. Nice to meet you. You're looking pretty strong, Adrian. How you feeling? Does he look pretty strong? I said, how you feeling? He goes, eh. The crew just said, eh.
I said, I don't feel that strong.
Okay. Aye, aye, Captain. So, do you have any injuries right here?
Should I say yes?
I want to know the truth. No. So, have you and I met before, Adrian? Do we discuss anything we're about to do right now? Are the last four of your social... 4275?
don't even know.
He doesn't know. I would know. I know all my friends' social. That's actually Howard's social. But I know all my friends' social. That's why. But anyway, we've never met before. So I'm going to take out your arm. You okay with this?
Yeah.
Do you work out?
I do.
Yeah, we can tell. So I'm going to press down. Adrian, where are you from?
I'm from Lacrete in Canada.
Okay. This works on Canadians too, so don't worry. So here's the thing. I'm going to press down your arm, but I want you to resist me.
Okay.
Does that hurt at all?
No.
You okay? Now really resist me. Holy cow. Okay, I got the right guy. So Adrian, you are the captain. This is your crew. Your environment's the crew. Your body is the crew. It will do whatever you say. There is no filter. I'm going to take my entire hand, and I'm going to pull down significantly to get you down. But you're going to tell the crew, I can do it. So look out at the crowd. I want you to say, I can do it. Go ahead.
I can do it.
Now hold me up. Ready? I can do it.
I can do it.
Jeez. I've done a pull-up on your arm. Okay. It obeyed. He was very strong. Do you feel the strength? Now he's going to say, I can't do it. I can't do it, and we'll see what happens. Look forward. I can't do it. Ready? Go ahead.
I can't do it.
Interesting. Say, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Now, Adrian, what happened, buddy? What happened? That's right. How'd you feel on the first one, strong or weak?
Felt pretty strong.
On the second one, strong or weak?
Not as strong.
Weak is the word, right? I mean, just from this angle, you looked weak. Just from right here. I didn't tell you this, but on my first one, I took my whole hand. I could not budge you. The second one, I took two fingers and dropped you. Isn't that interesting? Can versus can't. In my chapter, the language of those who win, we talk about that, especially in athletics and in business. If the leader says, I don't know that we can do that, the crew just went weak. Let's talk about it some more. I want you to say positive versus negative. So listen, I also call them positive words, heavenly words, negative words, devilish words. Let's see where the sustaining is. I want you to look forward, and I'm going to press down with significant force, and I want you to say, I love you. Maybe you want to pick out someone specific. I don't know. Say, I love you.
I love you.
Golly. Okay. Yeah, I felt the love. Good job. Okay. Now, opposite of love.
Hate.
Right. I want you to say, I hate you, but please don't look at anybody specific, okay? Right? I'm going to go ahead and say, I hate you.
I hate you.
Interesting. Two fingers. Try again, buddy.
I hate you.
Interesting. Let's try with one finger. I hate you. Sustain. Come on. I hate you. Man, one finger. The devil will never sustain you. Why do we use his tools if he'll never sustain us? You understand? You should be dumping words in the toilet right now that should never come. See, sometimes we say, I hate you, and we think, oh, I'm going to feel better if I let this out. Who did it make weak? Him. Now, let's talk about this. Maybe this doesn't happen to you, but there's these non-committal words. I have a whole deal on non-commitment. Words of integrity. Sometimes people say, it's crazy. They'll say, I'll try. I hope to. Maybe. We'll see. Let's see how the crew responds to such words. Adrian, I want you to sustain me. And I want you to say, I'll try.
I'll try.
Yeah, nice try. Say, we'll see.
We'll see.
I want you to say, maybe.
Maybe.
Say, I hope to.
I hope to.
Now, I want you to say, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Couldn't move them. The crew doesn't have a clue what to do with maybes and tries. Why do we say them? It's because we've been conditioned with this. Right? So if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, say, I'm not able to do that. That's a commitment. That's why I have a chapter on words of integrity. And so you can see, do you have a powerful company or a powerless company? And it's all right here, how we command it. Adrian, you've been great. Was that fun for you?
It was good.
Give him a hand. In fact, I'm going to give... I'm going to give Adrian a book right here. So, Adrian. Aladdin. I like that too. Thanks, brother. There you go. Give him a hand.
Thanks.
But let's keep going. Let's keep going. This. I want to talk about environments here. So somebody else I don't know here. Let's see. So I'm just feeling like Who's feeling a little sketchy? Who's feeling a little skeptical about this? Huh? Who's feeling a little... People are pointing at people. Okay, I'm going to use a gentleman. This guy right here. He looks a little bigger than me. Come on up. I love doing this with football teams. We're at the University of Maryland football team. Got the biggest... And this is fun. All right. What's your name, young man?
Brandon.
Brandon. Have we met before?
No.
Okay, you have any idea what we're going to do right now?
No clue.
Somewhat idea. I mean, I just showed you, right? But Brandon, do you have any shoulder injuries? Do you mind if I push on your shoulder that way?
No.
I'm going to show how powerful our environment is, Brandon. How words affect our environment. Okay? So what I want you to do, everybody, go ahead, feed them to me. Give me some positive words. I'll start out happy. Awesome. Phenomenal, of course. Grateful. The best. You got this. Success. Do it. Very good. Thank you. I love it. Thank you. What was this?
Rock star.
Rock star. What else?
The man for the hour.
Okay. Thanks for thinking that through. Man for the hour. Are you married?
Yes.
What's your wife's name?
Charisse.
Charisse is a positive. How do you say? How do I spell it?
Charisse.
Very good. Do you have children?
Yes.
Tell me the oldest name.
Oh, Madison.
Madison, beautiful name. Cool. That's a positive thing in your life. Joy, worthy, love. Okay, come step up here, please, Brandon. Step right up.
You able to reach?
Yep. And I said yes, so my crew said, of course. Right? If I said, I'll try, my crew... I don't know what to do with that. Do you get this? I'm just going to put... What's in your pocket right here?
Pen.
Any cell phones or anything on your phone?
Right here.
Okay. So I'm going to put this in his environment. Hold that with your left hand, please. Mm-hmm. This is just positivity. You don't... By the way, you can think about whatever you want.
Okay.
You don't have to think about that. You can think about chicken dinner. What doesn't matter? Okay, that's positive, though. But... Here's the thing. I'm going to press down, and what happens in the environment? Can you sustain me? Ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Golly. That's great. Pretty strong. He might have been strong. Never mind. So you saw that just by his words in his environment sustained him. Thank you. Give me that one. The moment you've all been waiting for. Without swearing at me, and I'm serious. Give me some of the negative crap that comes into your mind sometimes that it's not productive. I can't do it. Stupid. Failure. Too hard. Hard alone actually will work too. Too tired. Let me just talk about that because I've heard the word hard several times today already. It's hard. It's this. And that. Guess what the crew does with hard? It breaks down. Doesn't know what to do. It's weak. If I just change it, see, it's all about change your language, change your life. It's worth the effort. Look, you're going to work at it, and it's going to be worth the effort. Change hard to worth the effort. Okay? What else?
Worthless.
Okay, got that one. Ugly.
Terrible.
Lazy.
No good.
No what?
No good.
Entitled,
insignificant. I think we got enough.
Yeah. All right. I know. We're about to fall over up here with all this negativity. I'm just going to put negativity in his environment. You don't have to think about that. You can think about whatever you want. This is just what's in our environment. Ready? Couldn't move him with my whole hand. You ready? Two fingers. Try again. Interesting. I was in South Africa, and a lady said, in Johannesburg, she said, what if they're thinking positive thoughts in a negative environment? I said, well, let's try it. Think positive thoughts, Brandon. Think I love you. Think I can, just think it. You ready?
Yeah.
He's got negativity. Let's see what wins. environment always wins. Now, if you're hanging out in the mud, you will never leave without getting dirty. Oftentimes people are eagles hanging out with chickens. They're going to eventually think they're a chicken. But I'm not just a wise lady once said to me, a grandma, she said, Thomas, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I'm not talking about the people you hang out with. I'm talking about the things you hang out. What do you look at on your phone? What TVs do you watch? What shows do you watch, if any? Your environment produces weakness or strength. Now, let's talk about how powerful the captain is now. You just saw that by him thinking positive thoughts did not sustain him. But what happens when he says something positive? The power of the word. Okay? I want you to say, I love you. I got him down with two fingers before. He has negativity all around him. Say, I love you.
I love you.
Go ahead. Couldn't move my whole hand. The word wins. Change your language. Change your life. So even if you're in a negative environment, guess what? We can speak our way through it. Even if something is worth the effort, we can speak our way through it. This is why my brother just thanked you, by the way. Give him a hand. Brandon, I'm going to give you a book, buddy. Is it D-O-N or D-E-N?
D-O-N.
Brandon, you are a champion. Is that true, Brandon?
That's true.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Here you go, friend.
Appreciate it. Yep.
So, I hope some light bulbs are going off. Some things that need to leave that you're saying right now. Sometimes we sink our own ships. Life isn't hard. Life is beautiful. Life's worth the effort. You get the prize. I think this saying will make a lot more sense to us now, won't it? When Henry Ford said, whether you say you can or whether you say you can't, either way you're right. That should have just come alive for you. Because it's literal. It's literal. I just showed you what an environment can do. I hope you're thinking mentally, what's my environment look like at my house, in my office? What do I look at? What do I watch? Oh, I like this TV show because, you know, I guess just veg out and these sorts of things. But it's a bunch of negativity. It's a bunch of things. Guess what? Your crew is so confused. There's no productivity happen. Can you watch a show that you feel good afterwards? Can you? Say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not about the show. Just be selective. Here's the phrase. Only say the things you actually want to happen. Only say the things you actually want to occur. If you don't want it to occur, don't say it. This is another chapter in the book. It's called The Rate of Vibration of Our Daily Greetings, the ROV. Everything's a vibration. I've seen entire companies, families shift by just changing the way they respond to how we're doing. That's why I was so impressed with Howard. How you doing, Howard? I knew it was always going to be phenomenal. Is his life phenomenal? Why? Because he said so. Because he said so. Even you want to get people to answer your emails and answer your text messages quicker, add a little phrase at the end. Have the best day. Have a phenomenal day. Life is beautiful. Guess what? People will look forward to open up your text messages. They'll look forward to open up your emails. Just by this little thing, because guess what? The crew was so strong behind it, they're pushing it forward and said, it truly is. And they love to read it because they just feel good afterwards. So that whole chapter is on that. Change your greetings. Because often it just happened today. All I have to do is check. 60 seconds, I can tell. Someone's checking in the hotel before me. How are you doing today, sir? Not too bad. So you're bad, just not too bad. I mean, contrary to the Michael Jackson song, we're not talking about bad is good here either. Okay? But do you understand, what do you say when people greet you? So I give a whole list of them. Fine. You know, incredible. Two steps above incredible. My life is beautiful. So that's a simple shift. And also, when you're greeting people, like bringing in, how are you? It's just not, how are you? I could say, Brenda, you're looking beautiful today. How are you doing?
Fantastic and getting better.
Absolutely. See this? So I compliment it. People tend to speak how you act to them. Are you catching on to this? People show up to a meeting. Thank you so much for turning in that report on time the other day. We're so glad you're here. How you doing? One that I love to say to my wife, of all the sights I've seen today, you're my favorite. How you doing? Guys, I'm giving it to you. I mean, come on. Change your language, change your relationships. You want a relationship to get better? Change how you greet people. Change how you greet them. You can defuse, distinguish a fiery situation just by how you start it. You start on fire, well, you got to put something out. If you know it's going to be a fire, start with the extinguisher. I know we can resolve this, and I'm grateful that you've come here to do it. How are you doing? Do you understand? Key formula. Write it down. E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. Stands for this. Event plus response will equal the outcome every single time. Which one do we have control over? 100%. 100% of the... So why do I put energy... Notice I don't say worry. Why do I put energy knowingly on what events occurred or not? Can I control the event? I can control it with how I respond to it. Do you catch this? The plane could be late. Look, I go on a few planes. This happens all the time. We'll get on the plane. The pilot say, ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain. We found some mechanical errors on the plane that we need to check out before we get up in the air here. Just take us a few minutes, and thank you for your patience, right? What do you hear? For the love! This is going to kill my day. I got a meeting as if... Like, seriously? Can you imagine? We're 35,000 feet in the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to get off the ground even though we found some mechanical errors on the ground, we're all going to die. You know?
I'm saying a gratitude prayer in the moment that they found it on the ground instead of in the air. Like, seriously? Like, where's your perspective? How you respond to it. Here's something we say every single day in my family, every day. We have our family prayers, a tradition of ours, and we say everything always works out for our good because we love God. Every day in unison. We've been saying it for 15 years. Now, it's not something I made up. That's a Romans 8:28 thing. But guess what happens in our life? Everything always works out for our good. So it's like our family creed. It's our family motto. We just know that's what's going to happen because that's how we respond to things. The language of those who win. This is a whole other chapter on this. I got to go back to this one, though. I was speaking to a group of, 200 dentists. All were dentists. How many of you all get excited to go to the dentist? Right? So the dentists, they were excited about this because it was this whole epiphany of, oh my goodness, how I speak to my people in the chair. How you doing? I'm the dentist. I'm about to drill your head off, right? And how you doing today? Great when I get out of here, right? I'll be better when I get it. And the dentist would say, yeah, me too. And then the crew just went to work to make it a terrible experience. And so just by that little shift of showing gratitude, aren't you grateful that we have the tools and technology, the wisdom to be able to fix this on your mouth? There's some countries that don't even have dentists. And she shifted that. I mean, she was in tears, one of the dentists there. She said, for 20 years I've been sinking my own ship. But the beautiful thing is you can change it just like that. She was excited to get back to work. The language of those who win. You know, oftentimes I go speak to athletes. And it's one of my favorite things because it truly manifests how you're going to win. Now, is a win always determined by the score?
No.
It's not. See, here's the phrase. Can you identify and celebrate your wins, your victories, regardless of the score? Can you? Identify and celebrate the victories regardless of the score. Well, I got a call one time. And it was a young basketball team in Southeast Arizona, high school basketball team. And the coach gave me a call because he said, Thomas, I got a lot of talent on my team. It's just we have this cancer, really, that all the town, everybody's talking about that we cannot win the state championship. I said, why is that? He said, because recently what they did as our region is they decided to let the private schools compete with the public schools. And as you know, especially here in Texas and other places, that private schools can recruit anybody they want. And they recruit the best talent. And oftentimes that talent goes on to play in the next level. Division I, Division II, whatever, in the university, am I right? So this small town said, oh, you can make it to the playoffs, because they didn't have to face a private school to the playoffs, but then when you get to the playoffs, you're going to lose to a private school. And it was this terrible cancer. Oh, it's unfair. It's unjust. Right? What are they out to do? We can't win. Every single time, the crew would have been weak. Every single time. So the coach called me and said, Thomas, I got some winners. I got a championship team here. I know they can do it. They're talented. The problem is their language is not congruent. Can you come talk to them? I said, absolutely. So he called me up. I went down. I had 15 boys lined up. Imagine this scene. 15 boys. It was before the season. And I said, gentlemen, what do you want to accomplish this year? And I'm going to give each one a chance to speak. First boy said, well, I want to have more baskets than I did last year. It was all about him. Next one said, well, I just want to make it to the playoffs. As if that was the championship. You just make it to the playoffs, right? And we went throughout this whole thing. None of them mentioned the ultimate prize, which would have been what? The state championship. It just wasn't even a possibility. Why? Because all this language, all this creation of sinking their ship was all around them. So, then we came to the third to the last boy. He was a freshman. And he was good enough to play on the varsity team, so the coach invited him to the meeting. And he just moved to that town. He didn't know about all this non-commitment and cancer all going around with the language. He stood up. He stood up and said, look, guys, I'm new here, but I didn't come here to lose. I want to win a state championship. You could hear the whispers from the guys who were on the team. Doesn't he know where he is? Doesn't he know that we have to play the private schools? Like it wasn't even a possibility. And then he sat down. I said, young man, that's profound. Who else wants to win a state championship? Stand up. It took a while. He popped right back up again. The coaches stood up in the corner. They had to show their belief. Rarely will a team perform higher than the coaches believe. One by one, hesitantly but surely, I had all 15 boys standing in front of me. I turned to the coaches and said, coaches, let me present to you your championship team. And they got excited about it. One boy went up to the chalkboard, wrote it down, state champions, and got. I said, now here's the deal. Since you made a decision, as Emerson said, the universe conspires. When a decision is made, the universe conspires to make it happen. You just told your crew that we're going to do this, but guess what? There's some effort, and it's going to be worth your effort. But here's what you got to do. Your words have to be congruent with what the prize is. You will come up with several affirmations that you will say every day before practice and before every game. And I'm going to give each one a copy, and before you go to sleep at night, you will say these before you go to bed. We have to reprogram this software between our ears. We have to speak it into existence. I was impressed. I let them alone. I gave them the parameters, and they came up with these affirmations. Now, here's the rules. Before every practice, before every game, they said them in unison before every time they went to bed. I have them right here. Let me share them with you. I want you to picture 15 boys locked arms, and they're just this little sway, this little rhythm thing going on. And here's what they said. It's our destiny to win the state championship. Winning comes naturally to us. State champions is in our blood. No one fights for victory as hard as we do. We come together to pull off big wins. We are never out of any game, regardless of the score. Excuse me. Focus is one of our greatest strengths. Doubt is not welcome on our team. Our love for the game and our teammates is apparent. Nothing comes between us. You know, I had to ask him about that one. I said, what's that one all about? Coach said, we got two boys, starters, great players. On the court, they're cordial. But off the court, they hate each other. What's going on? They said, well, they like the same girl. It's a big competition. I said, it'll never work. You can't be someone different at home than you are at work. You can't. Does that make sense? It has to be congruent. The crew is confused on where to perform. That little affirmation healed that relationship. Another boy got the girl. So going on, here is what we speak with our game and total domination on the court, not with arrogant comments. Isn't that a beautiful one? They speak with their game. They're not arrogant. We understand that good things happen to good people, and we live our lives that way. They're better boys because they said it. Good things happen to good people, and we live our lives this way. Oh, my goodness. Our quest is to change basketball history at our school. Mark the day, February 24th, state champions. We visualized the day, and they did this big clap, bam, that moment, bam, and that feeling. And then they hit the court. But what happens? Over years of programming, they went out, and they went for it that first season. They were a very young team. They were going to be together for a while. First season, 7 wins, 5 losses. They got second round of the playoffs. They lost. They stuck with it. They stuck with it. Said that before every game, before every practice, and every night. Next year, 11 wins, 1 loss. Got to the playoffs, beat 2 private schools, got to the finals against a private school. Final. Oh, they hadn't been there in a long time. They lost by 2 points. And you might be saying, Thomas, but was that the victory? The victory is things changed. The next season, they were all together again, undefeated. 12 wins, 0 losses. Third round, guess who they faced? The previous state champions. Beat them. Now, they're in the finals. I was there at the game. At the end of regulation, tied. First overtime. End of first overtime, tied. Second overtime. Oh, they just knew they could do it. In the end, one of the other players made a clutch shot, and they lost by 1 point. But that's not the victory. These boys, one of the boys came up to me during the season. He said, he called me coach too. Hey, coach. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but it's sort of a trick I have. I also say what I want to accomplish individually as a player to contribute to the team. And I did. I accomplished every single one. Is that okay? Are you kidding? Here's a 17-year-old boy that has figured out for life that he can have anything he wants. Well, here's something cool about this. This is a small town. And some of you grew up in a small town. I did. If you're a good athlete, Luis, sometimes you play basketball, you're going to play football, baseball, you're going to play all the sports, right? They adopted this on the football team. Same season, the first one. All the football players, they went undefeated. First year, won the state championship, beat 2 private schools. They have not lost on that football team for 6 years straight. The language of those who win. Amazing. Your personal value. Let's talk about this. By the way, I tell that story in this book, and I give all those affirmations in the book, too. People always ask me that. They're all listed inside there. If you want your bank account value to increase, guess what has to happen? Then your personal value has to increase. People say, I want to be a millionaire, but guess what? You're living on a minimum wage mindset. You're talking like a minimum wager. You're talking like a 100,000-er. But your personal value has to match, or it will never match. How do you do that? Well, start with your language. There's a whole chapter on this called The Language of Appreciation, Gratitude, and Thankfulness. Now, I know you know this, but when you go into a home, how many of you owned a home before? Own a home now? If I want my value in my home to go up, what do I have to do? Improve it. I fix up the kitchen, right? I do something like that. I make the landscaping great. And the home does this thing called appreciation. If I don't do anything and values go down, it's called depreciation. Well, I want you to consider yourself the same thing. If you want your value to go up and appreciate, I've proven it's all in that word right there. Appreciate a little bit more. Be grateful a little bit more. I prove it that it cures depression, sleep apnea, when we're the grateful brain. I'm talking grateful in everything. Be cheerful in everything. Just got in a car wreck. Can you find the gratitude in that deal? Can you? Yes. And some people say, I don't know if I can. I would say, you're right. And some say, oh, you absolutely can. I say, you're right. Do you understand? The crew only know. Look, we will find whatever we're looking for. If you're looking for the dirt on me, look, friends, you may find it. I don't know where it's at. But if you look for the good in me, it's there. You'll find whatever you're looking for in people or situations all the time. And the crew obeys that. So we get into that. Thankfulness, gratitude. I lay it out very specifically in that chapter. I know some might be thinking, well, how do I, I've had years and years of this programming. How do I change it? Well, I've written 101 weekly inspirational language tips to help you. Every single Monday morning, for 2 years, and then it repeats after 2 years, you get a weekly inspirational language tip. And I'm going to give those to you here today. It's just by your email. We'll go through the details later. But that's what has to happen. The programming, I want to be the first thing in your morning, on Monday morning, in your inbox. And what happens with these, it goes throughout whole companies. They talk about it at their Monday morning meetings. It's been amazing. But I'm going to help you with that. Your capacity. What is your current capacity? I talk about this because how much can you hold when it comes to wealth? Consider a professional athlete. Does anybody know the average many years it takes after that athlete's last ball game before they're bankrupt?
One.
Sometimes, but the majority is 8 to 9. Bankrupt. Now, that's not all of them, but a goodly chunk of them are bankrupt. Why would that be? Because they never were taught how to hold wealth, the capacity. Greg, come on up here. This is Greg, everyone. So this cup right here represents Greg's capacity to hold wealth. Greg, I want you to come over here a little bit. Everything he's learned, everything he's been taught, everything he speaks about, thinks about, is inside of this capacity to hold wealth right here. You all have your cup, jug, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden an opportunity comes along. Business starts going good. It's definitely going to happen as you follow these success principles here at Phenomenal Products. And wealth just comes in, right? And gives you a little bit more. You think, oh, hey, that felt really good. Right? Mm-hmm. And then a whole bunch comes, because now you're speaking with it and stuff just starts coming and coming and coming. Right? If this thing blows up, I'm sorry. But it just spills over. Because he never worked on his capacity to hold wealth. His ability to grow. If you want your bank account value to increase, your personal value has to increase. So we want to change this to a jug, right? To semi-trucks, to tankers. Thank you very much. Good work, good work. So what is your current capacity? Thank you. Yeah, give him a hand. Well, I mean, that's... What is it? And you might think, oh, I want this, I want that. But guess what? You have to grow to hold it. Otherwise, it won't even matter. How do you do that? If you want things to get better, then guess who has to get better? You have to get better. You do. How do you do this? Let me tell the story of Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, one of the winningest basketball coaches on the planet. 11 NBA championships. Six with the Chicago Bulls, 5 with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's right. You know what his secret is? I'll tell you right now. He tells his team, imagine this scene. You got Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, John Stockton, I mean, just giants in there. And he says, gentlemen, before we get on that court, we must win here. Our capacity to win an NBA championship, a world championship, has to be here before we hit that court. We have to speak that way. How are we going to do that? He says, my rule is this. I don't care who you are. You will read a good book every single month or you're off this team. That's strict. And he said, for some of you, I've already picked out your book. Because he knew where their capacity has to increase. Look, we've talked about the power of books, especially in this organization. We're constantly mentioning them. Name something you want to increase your capacity. I can promise you there's at least 50 to 100 books just on that to get better. But what happens? They went out and won 6 NBA championships. Goes to the Lakers, same concept, 5 more. And it's the same thing for you. If you want your capacity to increase, if you want things to get better for you, you've got to put a lot more greatness in, you'll get greatness out. If you're putting garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. There was a study done, another one on the brain. The brain is a very interesting thing. It will tell us these clues. They took a person who was not reading at all, which happens a lot, and they said, look, we want you to read 15 minutes a day. Profound. For 8 weeks. You can see their brain scan right here. It has some activity. After 8 weeks of reading 15 minutes, look at the same brain. Parts of the brain that were dormant, not thinking, Now active because of just reading. 15 minutes a day, 8 weeks. You want to know some interesting statistics about this? Here they are. From different polls happened. 43% of college graduates will never read another book the rest of their lives. Here's another one. 80% of households won't invest in a single book in a year. Now, you might be saying that. Now, if this is you, you can change that right now, and I hope you are, but it's likely not you. You're already doing this. But where can you increase? Greatness in, greatness out. If you want things to get better, then you have to get better. If you want your bank account to increase, your personal value has to increase. You have to be worth more. And knowledge applied is power. So, if you want your environment to get better, then you have to invest in your environment. I see it all the time. People say, I want my culture to get better. I want my environment to get better. I'm not putting any investment into the environment. You constantly have to be investing into the environment. Consider this phrase right here. It's powerful. You will have a culture, but you'll have a culture by design or a culture by default. But you will have a culture. And how much effort are you putting into that culture? Well, what Phil Jackson knew, he said, look, I can have a mentor, a teacher, teaching my guys, my professional players, well, I'm not even there. Why? How? Books. Books. Designated specific things, and he knew they needed to get better to become champions. So what is your culture like? What are your people reading? What's your environment reading? This has been an amazing, amazing and humbling, really, opportunity. Friends, it took me 10 years to write that book. Oftentimes, I didn't even know what the next chapter was going to look like. But I sat down, I prayed. I said, where do we go with this? I didn't tell you this, but my family's been on a family adventure for 3 years. We've been homeless for 3 years. Let me explain. We put all our stuff in storage in Richmond, Virginia. We got in the car, and we just live in vacation homes. And I said, we're going to do this for a year. After that year, we called it our plan. We had every national park scene in the state. We went coast to coast, some parts of Canada. We loved it. And after the end of the year, we thought we were going to find a home. And it never felt confirmed to us. We lived by that spiritual confirmation. So we'd get in the car, we'd pray, and the Lord would guide us to other places. The Lord had in mind, because we've been on this for 3 years now. We planned for 1 year, it's been 3 years. We lived in 66 places in 3 years. But part of that was finishing this book. I was out at the beach in North Carolina. I've been at lake houses, and just the inspiration's come. And I just prayed about it. I'm a vessel here, an instrument. It has been absolutely inspiring to see what's happened all over the world. Let me just share some of the things that I'm humbled by. I've just pulled a few Amazon out of the several that are on there. This lady said, Carol, this is a book you should pass down through your family. After purchasing, I shared it with my mom. She ordered 25 copies for each one of her kids and grandchildren. True statement. That happens all the time. This gentleman, Andy, said, this book has literally changed my life for the better. Written in a fiction format, it's a story. The true stories and principles contained in life are life-altering. I'm now so careful to speak only the things that I actually want to happen. It works. I bought several more copies for my family, my employees. Thanks, Thomas. It works. Wow, so many fun stories. Here's another one. This gentleman owns a successful home inspection company in Boise, Idaho. He and his wife. They heard me speak just like you spoke. They bought 4 cases of books because they said themselves, Thomas, we liked your book so much, we bought 4 cases on our first order. We give our books away to anyone and everyone we hope will benefit. As part of our gifting program, they offered a little handout, 26 positive words, so they're getting this movement going. Also, what they do in their book, they've created like a little library checkout. So they bought over 100 books because it's 24 books per case. And they put in a little index card, and it's like a checkout. And after they have 8 people read the book, they take a picture of it, and then they contact those 8 people, and they get together and take them to dinner, and they talk about they debrief on the book, on the results. Cool system. And so many more. But you know, it's interesting. Those are wonderful. But here's the one that's impacted me the most. Let me tell you a story about my nephew Bailey. My nephew Bailey, it's a wonderful boy. And he's had opportunities for growth, just like anybody. Notice I didn't say challenges. He's had opportunities for growth, just like we all have. I got a call from him one day, and he left me a voice message. You should know that in his 21 years of life, I've never received a single phone call from him, ever. I was speaking that to a group on this in Cape Town, South Africa. And that night I got a message from Bailey. And I'm just going to play the message for you. Here's what it said. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh, you're right. Thank you.
And it's usually on the bottom.
You nailed it.
Talk to you a little bit. Hey, Uncle Thomas. It's Bailey. I was just calling to chat you up and see how you're doing and talk to you a little bit. Whenever you get a chance, give me a call, and I'd love to talk to you. Thanks. I love you a lot, and I miss you, and look forward to talking to you.
My first phone call from him in his whole life. Because of the experiences that he chose to have in his life, my first thought, and I'm just being very candid with you, is I thought he's in jail. I did. I'm thinking of my savings account. I'm thinking I'm going to have to bail this kid out. He doesn't want to call his dad. He's calling his uncle. And I'm his first phone call. I love you. I miss you. So I literally called him this quickly. I said, Bailey, is everything okay? He said, oh, no, yeah, it's great. It's so good now. He said, my dad gave me your book. He said, Uncle Thomas, I don't like to read. At first he said, I hate to read. Oh, no, no, I mean, I'm getting better at reading, he said. It was true, because he knew he shouldn't say the H word, right? I'm getting better at reading. I said, really? He said, Thomas, I work construction. I lay concrete. I would race home every day after my concrete job and binge on Netflix the rest of the night. That was my pattern. And I never really liked to read, but, you know, I thought, it's my uncle, I'll read his book. And now I started reading your book, and guess what I found myself doing? I would race home from work to read your book. I don't watch the shows I used to watch. He said, I'm going to take a picture and show you my mirror, all my affirmations, what I tell myself and how great my life is. My relationship with my girlfriend, who's now his fiancée, now they just had their first baby, changed almost overnight because people tend to act how you speak to them, and I recognize how toxic my conversation was with her. I'm shining her sign every day. So... You know, these Amazon ones are fun. They're great, and I look forward to hear your reviews. But I got to tell you, he said, Thomas, please keep doing this. This is your deal. You've changed my life. And I'm here to tell you, if it just changed his, it was worth everything to me. But I'm also telling you that when people read it and apply it and change their environment, things change. So, where do we go from here? I'm here. I spent a lot of hours. I've signed like 9 boxes of books for you. But here's your investment. Here's your investment to change your environment. I'm going to tell you this as a rule. The minimum order is 5 books. And I'm telling you that because I'm telling that for you. Because you're going to read it and wish you bought 100 more. Companies, car dealerships, that I'm sending them by the truckload because they recognize, just like Phil Jackson, if I can get my people reading this. And it's a book, it's not a bark book. And I say this with all respect, but it's not a book that says, do this, be this, change that. It's a story, just like I speak. It's inspirational stories. Number one review I get, I couldn't put it down. Howard added to it. And by the way, some of the first books were sent out to Tom Ziegler and to Howard, and they're actually testimonials in the book as well. Both Howard and Tom, and I'm grateful to you for that. But if you really want the best deal, here's what I'm telling you is the best for you, is at least get one case. It's only 24 books. The investment's only $480. But you will find, we're in October, almost November. You will find this will be the best gift. And people will thank you, and it will change your environment, especially family. I have one guy, he has 10 kids. He's contracted me to speak at his family reunion every year. And every single one of the kids had to read the book. It's changed the culture and dynamic of his family. So, whether it's one case, two cases, whatever that is, you be the judge of that. So, what we're going to do now, there should be a these invitation forms right here. And if you just take those and pass them around family dinner style. First thing you're going to do is put on your name there. And then put in your email. Please put it legibly so I can send you the free weekly inspirational language tips. And then you're just going to put in how many you want. Minimum is 5. We can take cash and card. Thank you to the team back here, Leakey and Tom. I appreciate you. We're going to do that here. I will be here. Obviously, we'll do it now because we're going to have a 30-minute break. But I'll be here till tomorrow about 12 or 12:30 as well. So if you get a book and you want me to, I've signed all of them. But if you want me to personalize it to somebody specific, come and see me tomorrow. I'll be out there. I can write it to somebody specific. Then put the quantity. If you want a case, put in 24. That's 480. If you want just 5, you want 10, obviously do the math. Here's the other thing is, some of you, if you can take a case with you, that's just fine. But if it's more convenient for me to ship, I will pay for the shipping on the cases. As many cases you get, I'll pay for the shipping. And I need to have your address there. So also, if you, for example, get a case and you want to just take one with you to read on your trip or while you're here, whatever.
Buy
25, that's fine. Yeah, I like that thinking. Yeah, you can get 25. That's fine. But when we're out, but here's the thing: is once we're out here, I will take care of the shipping. It's my gift to you, and we'll ship them to wherever you're at. If you're from Canada, how many Canadian friends do we have here? Fantastic. If you want a case, please, I'm gonna ask you to take it with you, because it's just a lot easier that way. So, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate you. I look forward to serving you. I look forward to hearing your feedback. And today is a beautiful day. Why? Because I said so. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Louise. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's give it up for Thomas. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you.